So the title for my homily this morning is, Let your faith be bigger than your fear. I want to tell you the story of two people for whom fear had gripped their lives. But then in light of seeing the resurrected one, and they heard Jesus say to them, let your faith be bigger than your fear. So I ask you this question, is your faith bigger than your fear? Are you more fearful in your daily life? Or are you seeking to be growing in faith? Let me tell you the story of these two people. The first was a man. He was a working class man with very little education. He tried to make something better out of his humble, poor life by going to work for a friend who was starting a new venture. He was hoping for a new lease on life, but sadly it didn't work out. In fact, his friend was arrested, thrown into prison, wrongly condemned for a crime he did not commit. In the end, this friend of his was brutally killed by a furious mob. This working class man was not only discouraged by this failure, but he was afraid that the same thing might happen to him. So he disowned his friend, and he went back to his own business. The second story is of a woman of ill repute. She'd squandered her life. She never got respect, never did anything really, in a sense, to deserve respect by the way she lived, because she was a slave of her own sin. Night by night, she cried herself to sleep. She simply couldn't imagine a better life than the one she was living. Then she met someone who gave her hope. The same man that I referred to in the first story who was starting this new venture. She also went to work for him, trying to get a new lease on life. But he was murdered, and her hope was extinguished like the fragile flame of a candle in the wind. And what happened next? Well, they found out that their friend Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And for St. Mary Magdalene and for St. Peter, it changed everything, because they heard the resurrected Christ say, Mary, Peter, let your faith be bigger than your fear. So again, I ask you this morning, what's it like for you? Are you a more faithful or a more fearful person in how you're living your daily life? And I want to say to you today that this story makes all the difference to how you live today, tomorrow, the rest of your earthly life, and get this, your eternity. That's what this is about. This is no cute story about Easter bunnies and spring returning. No, this is the story about a brutal death that results in a remarkable resurrection. So now we need to think about this a little bit more. When we talk about faith, what am I talking about? So often people think about faith in subjective terms. People will say, I'm losing my faith. Well, here's the first thing. In a sense, it's not first and foremost your faith. It's the faith of the church that's been professed for 2,000 years. And when we realize that it's not primarily my faith, but it's our faith, man, that can help you through the really hard times of life. Because it's not just based on your subjective feelings or the suffering you're going through. However real your subjective feelings and your sufferings are, this is not what the Catholic Church means by faith. When the Catholic Church speaks about faith, there is an object of our faith. There is a person in whom we put our faith. And knowing in whom we put our faith then influences how we are going to live our life, what meaning we will give to it. So let's think about this now in a little bit more detail. St. Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament, he put it this way. He said, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. In other words, if the resurrection did not really happen, go home and forget about it because it means absolutely nothing. Now, one of the things you need to understand about crucifixion, it wasn't kind of a one-off here, a one-off there. Have any of you ever heard of a man by the name of Spartacus? He lived around the year 70 BC. He started a rebellion against Rome. Things did not turn out too well for him or the 6,000 people that were crucified along the Appian Way. This is a road leading to Rome. And here's the important thing that you need to know. Crucifixion always gave to people this message: do not mess with Rome. Do not mess with Rome. Because if you do, that is where you will end up. This is how Rome dealt with threats to their interests. Therefore, you need to appreciate that Jesus being crucified was not kind of the exception. Jewish people saw it all the time. All the time. And the gospel writers are so clear in this understanding that they were afraid, the disciples. So afraid that Peter, when he was around a fire on Holy Thursday, could not confess that he was a friend of Jesus, because he was terrified. If Jesus Christ was still in the tomb on Easter Sunday, there is no way that he could have stood before thousands of people 50 days later and profess faith in the resurrection. So here's the thing, you just have to think about logically. It doesn't make logical sense for the church to exist unless something radically happened in the lives of those apostles whose feelings were completely discouraged, they were disenchanted, they were disheartened, they were giving up. Here's another thing you need to appreciate about this story. In each account of the Gospels, women are the first witnesses to the resurrection. Women. In the ancient world, a woman was not even considered a citizen. She had no worth, and her credibility was not considered at all significant. If this was a story men made up, they'd say, no, boys, we better not put women as the first witnesses because it won't be very convincing. No one will believe us. But women were the first witnesses. And St. Luke tells us, when they went to the men thought these words seemed an idle tale, and they did not believe them. You need to know this about the early Christians. When the resurrection was declared by women, the guy said, ladies, you got to be kidding. Let's go have another coffee. But thankfully, they didn't. Thankfully, as we heard in today's gospel, when Mary Magdalene came, separate from the other women, she said, it's true. And Peter and John ran to the tomb. And then here's another detail you got to look at. The linen clothes, they were wrapped in a tidy, neat place. Jesus made his bed after his resurrection. And for St. John, that's all the proof he needed. He believed that the resurrection had indeed happened. So we have to understand this wonderful truth. St. Paul says that Christ Jesus is raised from the dead, and he is the first fruits of those who have died. What he means by this is the following. Jesus' resurrection is like the first fruits of the spring harvest, which they would have in Israel. They have two harvests in Israel, in the spring and in the fall. And so right around the time of the resurrection would have been the spring harvest. And the first fruits were in anticipation of an abundant harvest still to come. Now, what does this mean for you and for me? It means everything. Because it helps you to understand your destiny. Are any of you afraid of dying? You don't have to put up your hand. Are any of you wondering, is it a crapshoot at the end and, well, we're just not sure what's going to happen? Maybe I'll just disappear into the vapor and I will be nothing. Do you believe that? Good, I'm glad you said no. That's wonderful. Because if you do believe that, your fear is going to be bigger than your faith. Because it's terrifying to think that at the end of life, you no longer exist. That's not what St. Paul believed. That's not what the Catholic Church has taught for 2,000 years. Here is the definitive teaching of the Catholic Church on what is our destiny. We understand that because of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, that when you and I die, immediately our soul is going to leave our body. And I'm not going to talk about hell, because that's like for another day, but what I am going to talk about is purgatory. For most of us, after we die, because we're not yet completely free of sin, we will go into the purgatorial state. And purgatory is like the most beautiful shower possible, because we're getting ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And once our soul has been made perfect, we will then enter into the reality of heaven, what we call the communion of the saints, in what is also called the Church Triumphant. Now, many, many philosophies and religions believe in what's called the immortality of the soul. We do too, as Catholics. But Christianity is the only religion in the world that believes the following. Jesus Christ is going to come again. And at the time of his second coming, your perfected immortal soul will be joined to a resurrected body, like the body Jesus had after his resurrection. Get this point. Before his incarnation, Jesus Christ, as the second person of the Blessed Trinity, was pure spirit. After his incarnation, and as he ascends back into heaven, he's no longer just pure spirit. He has his resurrected body. So does Mary. And Mary's resurrected body is an anticipation of the resurrected body we'll have. Is not that good news? Now you might think, that really sounds like an idle tale. And you're absolutely right, it is an idle tale if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead. But, says the Catechism, that book which helps us to interpret and understand the Bible, listen to what our Catechism says about our resurrection. Christ's resurrection and the risen Christ himself is the principle and source of our future resurrection. That's you and me. That's us. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive. Now, this is a principle of faith. You're invited to trust that this is true. And if you say, I just can't believe this, I sympathize with you. It's a really hard thing to believe. But what I'd ask you to do is to pray about it. To say, Jesus, I have real difficulty believing that I'm going to share in your resurrection. Can you increase my faith, open my heart, and actually open my mind? Because some of the most brilliant people in the history of the world have believed this to be true. People like St. Thomas Aquinas, who could write 3 books at once. People like Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI, who when he died on the 31st of December, do you know what the last words he said before he took his last breath? I love you, Jesus. Wow. So, the first point of my homily, in whom do we put our faith? We put our faith in the resurrected Christ. And so then we have joy in the truth of the resurrection. My second point's going to be much shorter, you'll be glad to know. And with this point, I want to go to St. Paul's reading from Colossians, which we just heard a minute ago. And here St. Paul writes the following. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Listen to this. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things on earth. What does that mean? Your whole life and my whole life, in light of his life, is to be lived in helping heaven to come to earth. It wasn't by accident that Jesus, when he said the Lord's Prayer, said, we're to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does it mean to do the will of God? It means to grow in love. What does it mean to grow in love? Get this beautiful definition. To grow in love is to will the good of another person because there are another person. I do not always live that way. I often live willing the good of Jonathan Gibson. How about you? Here's the point. This is about conversion. This is about transformation. This isn't about us trying harder, because our trying harder is going to discourage you, and you're going to say things to me, "Father, I'm losing my faith." But if we put our trust, if we put our confidence in Jesus Christ, if we, as this little girl is doing here, seek the things that are above, it will make all the difference in how you will live your life. And one of the things it will do is you'll become a more active member of St. Peter's Parish, because you'll realize, I cannot do this on my own. On my own, I feel like Peter around the fire, with everyone skeptical, everyone mocking, everyone dismissing what Catholicism teaches. If you try to do this on your own, your fear will be greater than your faith. But if you choose on this Easter Sunday to say, this is going to be the first day of the rest of my life, then you're going to be like Mary Magdalene, aren't you? You're going to be like St. Peter. Oh, and by the way, the first day of the rest of your life, do you know what the day of the resurrection is called? It's called the eighth day. It's a supernatural day. It's beyond the ordinary week. It's a supernatural week. And every Sunday is to be for us an eighth day, so that we can then go back out into the world saying, yes, Lord Jesus Christ, I am afraid. And I'm afraid. I have trouble sleeping at nights because of fear. But what Jesus is teaching me is what he teaches every disciple. Jonathan, you can't do this on your own. I ask you, I encourage you, will your faith be bigger? Will your faith be bigger than your fear?